and called after her. "I'll set this aside for when you're here tomorrow, Herbally. Have a nice day." Herbally said nothing as she stormed past Lily Pace, Annalene's best friend, who was preparing a parcel for mailing, another of the store's many services. The crimson-skinned Zeltron laughed heartily as the Nikto slammed the door behind her.
"That's our Annie," Lily said. "Retailer of the year. Customers can't stay away."
"Sure they can, Lily." Annalene orbited one of the luncheonette tables, cleaning it off without looking at it. See, Danner had it figured. Anyone can stay away for a while, until they remember that it's 30 kilometers to the nearest working keg. Then, they never want to leave.
"I've noticed,"
Lily said, stacking packages.
"That was shorter than your usual go-around with Herbally. Something biting you?"
"No." Carting the breakfast dishes behind the counter, Annalene knew that wasn't true. But what she told her friend about Danar's claim certainly was. The place was the largest facility of any kind in the Pika Oasis. Two of the domes had been there since before anyone could remember, part of some ancient farm. Annalene's late husband Danar had added on, connecting one of the domes with a new oblong sales area beneath a rounded roof. The dome behind now constituted her family's living quarters and guesthouse. The main building had been Annalene's domain for the majority of her 37 years, and in that time, she'd crammed an amount of commerce that defied all geometry into the limited space. Visitors encountered rows of shelves as they entered, all angled so Annalene could see down the aisles from behind her counter, which ran nearly the length of the eastern wall. But most patrons usually headed past the sundries for the rear of the main room. There, near where the far end of Annalene's counter terminated in a bar, a food preparation area sat close to 8 cramped dining tables. Every day, Annalene fed and fortified half the workers living near the oasis. Not necessarily in that order. This was her roost, but the complex went on from there. Northwest of the main store was the first garage Danar had built to service the vehicles of Oasis prospectors. It had been expanded many times since, as local mechanics rented bays. To the north and east sat a livestock area, where the few surviving animals from Annalene's father's failed ranch had formed the basis for a thriving livery, serving those daring fools who preferred the reptilian dewbacks to land speeders. And all around, the oasis, a wide clearing shielded from the wind by gently rolling sandhills. Once a basin for a prehistoric lake, the area and its clumpy soil gave rise to flowering pika plants and a few hardy deb-deb trees. And something else. Orin Galt's newfangled cylindrical vaporators rose all around, producing water for delivery in the vast tankers that sat parked outside the claim's garages. Most of the harvest was bound for faraway parts. The locals drank what they needed and little more. They knew what they had and its value. Though gifted at water prospecting, Danar had never taken much interest in moisture farming. He'd reasoned that a store would weather the bad harvest years better. And that had mostly turned out to be true. But he'd left his widow with so many secondary businesses under one roof that Annalene feared taking a day off, lest Tatooine's rural economy collapse. She'd held up okay, or so she thought every once in a while, when she caught her reflection in the glassware in the sink. Annalene could even recognize herself on occasion. The auburn hair of her youth, which she wore tied back, was going to brown, not gray. So far, so good. Inside work had never fully met with her approval, but it had kept her skin rosy rather than roasted. And Annalene's eyes were about the only true green thing on the whole planet, if you didn't count dewbacks or Rhodian barflies. Counting dewbacks was now her daughter's job anyway. Looking out the square window, Annalene could see Callie, blonde and determined, trying to teach the Dewback yearling some manners before they realized they had the muscle to tear the fencing apart at will. At least, Callie wasn't messing with Snit, Annalene saw to her relief. The creature wasn't of the cannibal breed. Annalene wouldn't have let one of those near the compound, but Snit had been bitten by a creature as a hatchling, and had been snapping at everything in sight since. Annalene assumed her daughter had the sense to stay away, but she never knew. Breaking Dewbacks wasn't a safe job for an assassin droid, much less a 17-year-old girl. But Danar Calwell had never accepted limits, and his oldest child wasn't about to either. Stubbornness bred true. Annalene had hoped her son Jabe would be different, but it wasn't turning out that way. And between the emergency siren, her kids, and the customers today, Annalene had just about had it. She glared out the window and winced. In pain.
Ow!
That's new, Lily said, depositing her parcel and some credits on the counter. She pointed to Annalene's hands.
You have literally cut off your own circulation with your apron strings. Appropriate.
A little on the nose, though.
Looking down, Annalene quickly unwound the fabric from her reddened palm. You're the range psychiatrist now?
No, but I've got 5 children of my own. And I know if you keep staring at Callie and those animals, she's just gonna try to ride the crazy one.
Annalene turned away from the window. Now that's where you're wrong, she said, collecting the money.
It's always the kid I can't see that I'm worried about.
Jabe had already been long gone with the prospectors when the settlers' call had sounded. Her son knew very well that Annalene thought about him getting anywhere near Orin's business. But as far as she could tell, the boy didn't care at all. She just didn't understand him anymore. Jabe had something everyone on Tatooine dreamed of. A guaranteed life of safe indoor work, filling his father's shoes. Instead, the stubborn teen kept sneaking away with Orin's work crew. Sure, Annalene knew the boy had eyes for Orin's daughter, Vika. But he had no more chance with that hellion than he had of becoming Chancellor of the Republic, or whatever they called it these days.